Good morning and welcome to another Tom and Shane podcast. Hey, sorry about the picture quality. We only have a can and a string up here in Montana for internet, so I may be flipping in and out. So who knows? But anyway, we're going to persevere as well as we can. Today we're going to talk about Bitcoin, what experts don't want you to know. And Bitcoin been in the news a lot. It's been up, it's been down. What's going on, Shane?
Well, I think the most important thing for me to do is give some context to give people a comfort of what we're talking about. When you talk about the capitalization of a publicly held company, that's one that's either a stock or even a bond, or in this case, a Bitcoin, the capitalization represents the number issued. In a stock, there's two types of stock. There's preferred and there's common. They can also be acknowledged as stock A or B. But the capitalization of each of them is very relevant because that tells you how many specific number of shares are out. Now, we all know the story of amazing companies. And, Berkshire Hathaway is, probably one of the most important. It's an interesting aspect because when you look at Berkshire Hathaway and what people think of the company, it's one of these remarkable companies where you sit and you look at it and you go, wow, it's trading at $441,000 a share. But the key is there's only 619,076 shares. Stop for a moment. Grab that number again. 619,076 shares. There's not even a million shares issued on Berkshire Hathaway. In fact, Warren Buffett in Berkshire Hathaway of the 619,000 owns just about 200,000 or 31.8%. That brings it down to 419,000. Of that, funds own 320,000. So that brings around 100,000 shares are issued in the float at $400,000 a share. And that's why there's the average shareholder, public shareholder in Berkshire has one share. Now, I bring that to your attention because we'll get back to Bitcoin in a moment. But let's look at Microsoft. Now, the capitalization of Microsoft is one of the most astounding stories in the last 30 or 40 years because it's moved up and down so significantly. $7.4 billion. Let me repeat that. 700,000 shares out on Berkshire Hathaway, 7.4 billion shares out on Microsoft. And it's been as high as 8.6 billion. The one that will amaze you probably more than any others of the FANG stocks, if we talk about Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, and it is, here we go, Apple. Now, Apple has gone splitting their stock. It's at $176 today, and the float, or the number of common shares out, the capitalization, is it's a staggering 16.4 billion shares of Apple are out. So again, clearly the number of shares reflects the price as much as anything else. Amazon, and then I'll give you Google because you're going to find it interesting now that we're talking about capitalization. Amazon is interesting because the number of shares that are issued on it are 439 million. So 440 million. And of course, it's at $3,400. But, it's like on a scale of where Apple's at, it's a minion. All right, finally, Google, because it's one of the FANG stocks.
We're wasting too much time on stock. We get it.
I don't care. It's important. So the public float on Google is 300 million. So now let's get back to what we were talking about prior to me wanting to give this dissertation of the size of companies by their capitalization. So when we now look at the coin story, Bitcoin has 21 million coins out, or shares, if you'd like to call it that. You can call it whatever you want, but that's basically what they have out, 21 million shares. Now, the interesting aspect about this is that they've been mined. There's no expansion of the number of Bitcoins that'll be out there. Approximately 90% of them have been mined. Mined meaning having the software and equipment to go out and find the algorithm and be able to take from the internet, the social internet, coins that have not been seized or are being held. So the reason that Bitcoin trades as it does and fluctuates as it does is because there's so few of them out there, and they're not issuing any more. So once 21 million shares are mined, then that's the total capitalization out, and then it will again freely trade as it has in price. So the giant price on this, can't call it an equity because they don't invest anything, can't call it a stock because they don't own anything. So yeah, I guess you would want to call it a currency, and that's what they do, call it a cryptocurrency. And the value of it is held in that there's so little of it held in so few hands, and all of those people are prepared to join back and forth in ownership because of the privacy and protection they believe they have, because it is a virtual currency that has been created on the web, the global web, with the protection of not being able to be hacked. And that there's your context of why we're looking at cryptocurrency today as much as stocks.
Yeah. Yeah, Bitcoins, there's several different ones. Bitcoin is kind of the, like Kleenex, is all facial tissue puffs and everything else. But there's several Bitcoins out there that you can purchase. So it's as Shane said, it's a measure of monetary value. There only 21 million can be mined currently, anyway. That's the limit they've set on this. Yeah. They're, as Shane mentioned, they're about 80-90% there. And if they decide to increase that, then it there has to be at least a 51% of all the people who own Bitcoin or coins to okay it. So
yeah, it would require a vote, which is part of the charter of it. And Ethereum came out, and it's another one of these Bitcoins, and it's trading at a far greater discount than Bitcoin does. But when we started talking about these 5 years ago, can you believe it's been 5 years, like 2015, 16, what we were looking at then is that Ethereum was trading, I think, around $8 or something when we were talking about. Bitcoin was way ahead of it. The word on the street was very wealthy people were buying Ethereum, and with good cause. I mean, you want to look at something that's maybe not as dangerous. The fellow that invented Bitcoin, it is suggested he still holds 1.1 million Bitcoins of the 21 million, Satoshi Nakamoto. So it's an interesting watch in the context of a virtual asset. It's like people buying art that was done on the internet.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the next thing we got to talk about is how these things are kept, and they're kept in things called blockchains. And this is a really interesting phenomenon, started back in 91, I believe, this person came up with this thing. And your information, all your transactions, everything has to do with your particular Bitcoin, goes into a block. And when that block fills up with information, then it creates a new block with a new timeline and a new number. And these are kept in thousands of computers all over the world. So if someone were wanting to steal your Bitcoin, and they were able to infiltrate one of these blocks and take money out, all the other computers would compare that block to the blocks they have. And if they're different, they would reject the transaction. So that's why people say that it's safe, because there are thousands of these blockchains, and you would have to change at least 51% of them before anyone would be able to steal anything from you.
Yeah, you might think of it in terms as a safety deposit box. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's for, you know, the last 1,000 years what people did at a bank. You know, they had their own little bank within the bank. And as Tom is so well explained, you know, the context here is within the bank of Bitcoin, you have a box, a safety deposit box. But the measure of that box's security is an algorithm that is attached to every computer that is mining the stock or paying attention to the coins. And this is the safety mechanism that was built into this to protect you. And so it's not just multi-tiered, it's multifaceted. So the strength is horizontal. It's not vertical, which means that if anybody were to hack Bitcoin, the whole system would freeze, because that's the way it's set up. Like freeze in the sense that they would check, you know, your box and make certain that it's verified before the transaction could go through.
Yeah, it's like you mentioned, right? It's like having a safety deposit box, except that box is in thousands of banks all at once.
Yeah.
If someone takes something out of one box, all the other boxes would say, wait a minute, we don't see that happening here.
Exactly.
So, no, we're not going to open that box for you. Now,
a lot of people keep record of their holdings of Bitcoin on a phone, as opposed to being on a computer. And the reason with that is just being able to carry the phone with you always as a, you know, as a way of feeling more protected. But in this age, that's dangerous, because that's why robbers, people are taking people's phones with the idea that maybe they have Bitcoin. And, you know, it might be something they can access from their phone. So, you know, this is another thing that everybody worries about, is how safe is the Bitcoins you own, whether it's on your Apple computer, a desktop at home, or your laptop or your phone. If anyone can access it or grab it, it becomes a bit scary, right?
Well, as long as you don't, it's as safe as your password. And people who've forgotten their password, there's no way to recover your password.
No.
In Bitcoin, it's gone.
Right.
So it's gone. You can, whatever you've got in there, if you forget your password, it's over for you. And that's the downside, I guess, that there is no password recovery available. And the interesting thing about blockchain, this would be great for voting. It would keep voting extremely secure, Shane.
Oh, absolutely. And this would also be something that the government could initiate for people with regards to taxes, even. You know, and dealing with people's taxes you know, the manner in which they collect them and everything could shift. I think the context of this has much, much more usages that we have yet to see, and may end up being a very large part of eliminating physical currency in the future. You know, I think once this has been around longer And that, you know, time will tell. We'll see. It's a good edge towards you know, non-circulated currency, and having this instead.
Well, in the vote, in the voting situation, you would every registered vote, every registered voter would get some kind of a token, I guess, a non something they wouldn't have to buy, but they would have a token, and you would have the address of the person that you want to vote for, and simply punch in that address and vote. And your token would be recorded, and it could not be used anywhere else. Could not be used anywhere else in the blockchain, because the blockchains would compare each other, and if they see a discrepancy, then your vote would be thrown out. So, pretty good
deal.
That's
right. And the people that don't vote, you know, say I think it's 4 years or 5 years, you know, then it would be canceled, right?
Well, you'd have to register again to vote, depending on your state. Yeah,
but it's not just voting for any individual. It's voting for all the other things that are on a ballot, you know, taxes and everything else that people have.
Yeah, you'd get a
It'd certainly be a quicker way for the voting to take place. But more importantly, it may allow for a majority of people to vote instead of these pluralities of 30% making decisions on you know, school boards and local elections and other elections. You know, if it gets more people voting in the game, then it's a huge thing.
Well, I would disagree with that. I think the more people you have voting is probably not good, because you've got too many uninformed voters voting. You know, they're voting for yard signs rather than knowing what the candidate stands for, or, you know, their friend said, hey, vote for this proposition or whatever, and it may be bad for the community. So I would rather have a small bunch of informed voters rather than 100% turnout of uninformed voters. So, but anyway, that's another story. But it'd be interesting to see if they could set up a voting situation using blockchains to do that. So the other thing we got to talk about, non-fungible tokens. These are things you've heard about probably. People are selling artwork that doesn't exist. They're selling stuff that doesn't, you know, isn't real. It's on the cloud. You can't touch it, feel it, hold it, or smell it. And there's only one, and you can sell it, trade it, whatever. It's protected as people could buy replicas of it, a book, a piece of music, anything like that, artwork, whatever. And, the person would be paid who owns it.
Yeah, just last week at a auction, someone paid $110,000 for the first email. Now, how you could claim it's the first email, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But you know, they had some old piece of equipment that looked like some old phone, or I didn't recognize it, that showed the first email on it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't see the value, and I'm sure you would agree, in investing. I guess you just have so much money, you're taking a shot at maybe it'll be worth something, I guess. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They say you own it and whatever it is. So.
That's right. It's quite funny.
Hey, if you're watching us for the first time, don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. That will let you know anytime we have a podcast coming up. Like us, leave a comment. And we do these on StreamYard. And if you'd like to make your own, StreamYard's a great way to do it. You can see how easy it is. And as long as your internet's working, you might get a good signal. We're not today, but what can I tell you? Yeah, no? that's where I live. And if you like to support us monetarily, there's great advantages to doing that. Shane and I will do a lot of things personally for you. So get over and check that out. It's in the description below on YouTube, as is StreamYard as well. So, well, wrapping up, Shane, Bitcoin is going to be with us, as far as I know. And as people get, it was sort of like credit cards at the beginning, you know, people were kind of afraid to use them, that somebody was going to steal your number, and, you know, cell phones were a little iffy. And now, you know, as I think Bitcoin's going to go the same way, that it may be eventually we'll all be using some kind of intangible money that we know we have it, but we can't touch it.
That's right. It'll be virtual, baby.
Yeah, it's on our phone. It's on our, you know, some chip in our hand or something eventually. I don't know. But anyway, that's the future we're looking at. So what about Canada? A lot of Bitcoin interest in Canada?
Not significant, but I mean, there are people mining it all over the world, you know, with the hope of being able to catch one. I mean, the problem you have with Bitcoin is it's an undeclared value. You know, it's traded as high as 68,000. It's now around 43,000, 44,000. You know, that's, you know, to lose 35% of your value of nothing is dangerous as gaining 35% of value when it's nothing. So, yeah, you know, this is the original sale point on it was you can carry it anywhere on your phone. And when you use it in any country, it'll convert to the currency you're in. Mm-hmm. So that was the big initial sale. And then it varied from that. And then they accused of being used by drug people, to move money. And then arms dealers were using it to move money. So it's, of course, everything ends up having a negative to it because that's just what people want to see. But the bottom line is it's only as good as, like we say, someone's willing to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, it has its pros and cons. So anyway, as anything that you put money into, do your due diligent research. Make sure you know what you're getting into and make sure read and inform yourself or find someone who is informative that you you can trust.
And just buying any stock or anything else. Yeah, the Black Friday for Bitcoin is an electromagnetic charge. So if there's one that hits us, it's a major one from the sun, or there's one that hits us from some nuclear weapon, it's all gone, baby. Worthless.
Yeah, so would our currency.
Well, not physical.
That'd be gone too.
Not our physical currency.
Yeah, it would.
It's but for all your virtual currency in your banks and everything that you've got, on computers and that
that'd be gone.
Yeah. Everything would be gone. Yeah.
Only what you have in your wallet would be that's there.
Right. Or your safety deposit box.
Well, that's true too. Yeah. So anyway, well, if that happens, so we're gonna have a lot more problems. I think our big thing is gonna be finding food and water, not worrying about where our money is. All right. Hey, don't forget.
It's Thursday. We'll see you on Christmas Day, and everyone else will hear us on Christmas Day on our great show on Saturday.
That's right.
Our great Eagle Man will give you the full details as the host of the show about Saturday morning.
That's right. It's going across the crawl as we speak right now. We're on the radio every Saturday from 8 to 11 Mountain Time. And we hope that you will join us for that. You can call us. You can text us. You don't have to sign in. You don't have to leave any personal information. You don't have to do anything. We won't even know you're there unless you text us or call us or let us know by email or some way or other. So anyway, just go to KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. No sign up, no email, no nothing needed. So it's a pretty good deal. You know what I mean? So very interesting. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Linda, for being with us. We appreciate that very much. Bitcoin, I don't know, Shane, it's one of those scary things that we've got to research and look into and be more informed on. So as I say, make sure you know what you're doing before you do it. So, and that's true of probably everything in your life.
Buyer beware.
That's for sure. All right. All right. We'll talk to everybody on Christmas Day, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. And we will be back here next Tuesday. So thanks for being with us. And we will talk to you on Saturday.